All right, let's go. Let's get this thing rolling here.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
As I progressed throughout the season, I felt like the last two games I played in, I was playing good football. I was putting the ball where it needed to be, making the right decisions, keeping the ball out of harm's way. And, you know, we saw ourselves, you know, win against the Titans and be in the game late against Houston. So, you know, things were just starting to slow down for me. So I'm anxious to get back out there and, you know, see if that can continue.
Coming in over the line. He scores! Ristolainen wound up and rifled it past Carey Price, and Buffalo wins it in overtime!
I mean, that was a pretty bad game. You know, you can't have those games, but I think this game is going to make us tighter, and we're going to grow as a group here. You know, we got a pretty ugly win, you know. Grind it out, make 2 points, and learn from it.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, good morning. It is 6:04. What a game last night. It is a Football Friday. We've got plenty to talk about today. Football Friday brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Order online while you enjoy the game. Sal Capaccio, I think he's coming in around 7 o'clock. We'll have plenty of football to talk about. And, man, what a game last night. If you didn't watch the Sabres game, I am sorry for you. I feel bad. I don't know how you can get, you know, people always say, like, how am I going to get those 4 hours back? Those are the 4 hours or 3 hours. You need those 3 hours back because you need to go back in time and watch last night's Sabres game, which was a ton of fun. It was probably really messy and sloppy. It's the game the coaches say they're mad about. The Sabres defense was disastrous. Their goaltending was not good in the first two periods. Linus Ullmark had a tough time. And they won anyway, 6-5 in overtime with fun goals, an awesome game, back and forth. And Rasmus Ristolainen, who I was prepared to come in today and talk about, you know, I think I might be done with the idea of him being a really good player for them. He scores an overtime goal. So, you know, it kind of takes the heat off. I've started to drift on Ristolainen. You know, for a couple of years, we've been, I don't know if we've been debating how good he is, but anyway. Who cares about that? Today's a day to just revel in what happened last night. And by that, I mean not just the hockey game, but I wrote a piece at our website at WGR550.com that kind of put a little bit of pressure on last night's game. I was simply saying that the game matters. The game matters to me. It's a Thursday in November, and we haven't cared about a game on a Thursday in November in I don't know how long. The Sabres are usually out of it by now, and that's not even really much of an exaggeration. They have killed their seasons every year for about 6 years, and this year they didn't. They didn't do that this year. They are very much in it and holding down a playoff spot 16 games into the season. So, you know, you're about a fifth of the way, 20% into the season, and the Sabres are in a playoff spot. And I kind of want to know, 803-0550 is our phone number. I kind of want to know if any of you are seeing, feeling the comeback, the resurgence here of the hockey fan. You were on life support. You were watching mindlessly. You were tuning them out in the second period if they were down 6-5 in the past, although they wouldn't often score 5 goals in the past or whatever. 5-4 they were down heading to the third period. It's coming back. I went out to a local establishment with a friend for the first two periods. And when we got there, the game wasn't on, but we asked to put it on, the sound on. And over the course of the first 5-6 minutes of the game, you know, a good number of people streamed in for a local establishment on a Thursday. And people were watching the game and people were cheering and people were clapping. A woman comes back from the bathroom and says, "Did they score again?" And like, all of a sudden, the team that nobody paid attention to for a good number of years because they were so bad, people are back. It feels like the juice is back. And they're home tomorrow afternoon, which could and should be a ton of fun. Vancouver is having a good year. So, you know, last Saturday, a 9-goal game.
Vancouver just clobbered Boston yesterday, 8-5.
Vancouver's good. You got your hands full. They're also not supposed to be good, but they are. Montreal, not supposed to be good, but they are. And, whew, I mean, last night, I was, The point of my article was to say it's time to get invested again. It's time to ask for more from the hockey team. They didn't kill their season in October, so let's watch them do the same in November and see where they are at the end of November to see if they can still get into a playoff race. And they're in it. They're in it. It's only 16 games. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of season left. But, man, they have some players. They have some fun players. Who do you want to talk about first? Jeff Skinner, who everybody can't stop talking about, that they re-sign. Evan Rodriguez is just such a nice find for them. Rodriguez is a really nice player. He was good last night. Sobotka is a new addition. He scored a couple of goals on what amount to be tap-ins. The Eichel-Skinner-Pominville line and how often they get scoring chances. I'm buzzing over that hockey team last night and over that hockey game because it's just what everybody needs. We need, and this is the point about, I like to make this point that if you're going to lose, I didn't even care if this team made the playoffs this year. I mean, I care now, but I just wanted them to be more exciting and score goals. And man, we're getting that. There is a 9-goal game on their card. Last night is a 6-goal game on the road. And Carey Price, by the way, woof. $10 million a year for 8 years, and this is year one. Good luck, Montreal. I mean, even if he gets back to form, that's a tough one to take. But man, what a game. I was tweeting through the game all night last night. I am yelling at the television loud enough that my dogs jump off the couch and bark at me. You know, if you have dogs, you know how it works. You cheer for sports, and a lot of times dogs freak out about that. I am at my dogs barking at me status. I was just, it's a November hockey game, and the feeling of caring about it and the feeling of being totally invested is just, it's welcome. I was terrified. They go to overtime last night. I'm terrified. I don't want to come in today and talk about how they lost that game. And well, but it was still kind of fun, wasn't it? We had a lot of fun because I would have felt that. But, you know, that hollow feeling of having to talk about a loss and talk about it in a good way because they showed resiliency and they came back from down 5-4 and they tied it at 5. And hey, they still got a point. Don't even have to couch any of that. I mean, you might be upset that they gave up goals or leads of 1-0, 2-1, 3-1. And 4-3, because they did, and seemingly on every one of those goals was like the shift after they took the lead. But, I mean, this is just, I'm sorry if I'm like scatterbrained. I've told this story a couple times too. Since I've been married, since I've known my wife, actually, I tell her this a lot. She has never known me when the Sabres are good. She doesn't know what she's in for. She has no idea how the Sabres being good will take over, and again, they might not even be good this year, but right now, I'm riding it, and I am riding this high with everything I've got. She won't know what I'm like. She won't recognize me. And Saturday afternoon is one thing, but next week, Tuesday, they're playing Tampa. Tampa's a good team. That's a home game. I'm excited for it, and I feel like it's another test to see where they stack up. Montreal is a good young team right now. They're not supposed to be, but they are. And they went and got a win in Montreal. And, man, you know, I just want to say, we'll take wins around here, right? Not just from the hockey team. It's been so many losses for all of the sports teams in the area. And you, aside from UB, because UB is carrying things. And St. Bonaventure, too. I want to say them, too. You know, you've had some wins outside of the major teams, but man, that game was everything that I needed. I just, can they play right now? We're at that's the kind of game, and this is the kind of team right now. I feel like I want to like couch this and not get too excited because it sounds like they just won the Stanley Cup to me from my own voice, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's just, this is the kind of game that when now on the rebroadcast, I'm going to want to watch it again. And that's been a long time. We could talk about which one of the 6 goals did you like the most. How about the play by Eichel on the faceoff? That is insane. Reinhardt looked pretty good last night, I thought. That line of Reinhardt and Sobotka and Rodriguez, just, hey, look, secondary scoring. So if you want to just call in and kind of do what I'm doing, which is just shouting things about the game and not make sense, that's fine. 803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. It's coming back, you know? the feelings you got on a Thursday night, hunkered down, cold outside, dark outside, thanks daylight savings time, and just to be locked in, man, I couldn't be happier about it all. To have it all feel like it's all coming back, and it doesn't even mean that they're going to be good, but just to be invested. I was so emotionally invested in that game last night. 803-0550. A lot of texts on this. Brian writes in, I know it's coming back for me because I found myself yelling at the television the last 10 minutes due to the refs swallowing their whistles. Few missed calls, but it shows I care again about our hockey team. Yeah, right. That's I went out for the game, and I don't know that how often I've done that in the last couple years. Usually just to like catch up with the it felt like I care about this one. I want to go out and all right, I got to get my thoughts together because we've got a lot to get to today. Sal's coming in. I'm sure he'll want to talk about this a little bit. It's a football Friday. We'll take your phone calls. But, man, the hockey team feels back. Just keep rolling. Keep rolling. The playoffs, whatever. Be in the race. That building, the arena, this team, the way they play, they get scoring chances. They give up chances. Last night's game was very much out of character. This team tends to play a little bit of a more conservative style. And not last night. There were mistakes up and down. Allmark getting beat 5-hole by Nick DeLaurier was what? Right?
Well, it started out with a bad giveaway by Connor Sherry.
It was.
And then Darlene tried to get to the bench to make a change.
He did bad.
And then he realized what's going on, and he's like, crap, I got to get back.
It's a win, but the fact that here's another way that you know you're back in it is when you're watching a game at home and you're like, Bull, you, what are you doing? Like that one play where he's trying to pinch on the wall and it gets by him. Or the first goal, like, Jake McCabe, where are you going? And that hasn't happened for a long time. It's great. It's great. Keep it going. Just keep the race alive, you know?
Can I give you some early stats of the day?
I'm ready for stats of the day, yeah.
All right, perfect. So, stats! Vancouver, obviously, is the top team at the Pacific. They got 21 points. They're 10-6-1 on the season. Darren Millard, former Sportsnet host, tweeted out, trying to find the secret to the Canucks' 10-6-1 first-place start after building a snowman in Boston last night. Vancouver is a -1 goal differential. They're 12th in goals per game, 24th in goals against, 13th on the power play, and 17th in the penalty kill, and 28th in shots taken. So,
how are they good?
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Don't know.
It's like, how is this team playing as well as they are with them not being so good statistically?
That's something with the Sabres, too. I wrote about this in my article. They're very average in everything.
Yeah.
And I take that as a good sign. There is no reason right now, at least I don't think, to suggest the Sabres can't continue to do what they're doing. Their power play's not great. Their penalty kill's not great. Neither one of them is carrying the team. Their PDO, which is save percentage and shooting percentage, you know, the puck lock, that's average. Their possession, average. They're a very average team, which is very encouraging. It's wonderful. Let's get some phone calls in. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Larry in South Florida leads us off. Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. I was telling Braden when I phoned in that the play, first of all, I don't know if you noticed this, when it was 4-4 going into the third period, every time the Sabres scored, Montreal scored within less than a minute and a half.
I know.
Which means you cannot get up and leave because you don't know what the heck's going to happen. It was crazy. But the play of, and I was telling Braden, the play of Eichel on that faceoff. Now, if you've ever played hockey, you know how difficult it is to win a faceoff. But not only did he win the faceoff, he froze the centerman, got control of the puck, and perfectly put it on Skinner's stick across another defenseman. And the play of Skinner, I really hope they're seriously considering offering him a contract. I don't care if it's $7 or $8 million. To have that guy with Eichel, I mean, Eichel started to become an elite centerman in this league, and it's happening right before our eyes. And if Josh Allen can somehow string throws that make us say, whoa, we got something here for what, 8-9 years?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Eichel has 19 points in 16 games, 4 goals and 15 assists. Thanks, Larry. One thing about Eichel and Skinner is, you know, I think it was Dan Bylsma in year two that said Jack Eichel can be whatever kind of player he wants to be. He can be the scorer, he can be the setup man. And with a guy like Skinner on his line, he might end up scoring only, I mean, he's got 4 goals, so he might score 20 goals instead of 30 goals, which I think he's capable of 30 or more, of course. But he might end up with a 20-goal and 70-assist season. Eichel has scored 24, 24, and 25, and his assist, his career high in assists is 39 in a season that he missed 15 games last year. He's got 15 assists in 16 games. I mean, Jack Eichel's on a pace for 70-plus assists, which is totally reasonable for him. And on Skinner, the thing I think about Skinner, I loved that trade. When the Sabres made that trade, the Skinner trade, I went bananas with excitement because the offseason, it was what it was. Like the O'Reilly trade, okay, that had to happen. You know, you knew Kane was going to be gone. You sign some pieces here and there. You do what you can. You get a little older. You win the lottery. That's nice. But the offseason, to me, turned on the Skinner signing, on the Skinner trade, because that guy is a legitimate elite goal scorer. And whether you're going to put him with Eichel or who knows how long that lasts, maybe next year he's playing on somebody else's line. Maybe he's got chemistry with Mittelstadt. Skinner has chemistry wherever he goes. He plays, he is a great goal scorer. And to put him next to Jack Eichel, I mean, you're seeing results. I hope they sign him. He is of an age where it shouldn't scare you to sign him to a big contract. The money, the Sabres definitely have the room going forward for Jeff Skinner on a contract extension. The thing I hope about, the thing I think about all the time, is I hope he loves playing next to Jack Eichel. Hey, Jeff Skinner, do you want to score a crap ton of goals? You probably will. And the next step is, do you want to win? Because a lot of these players, you know, Skinner's probably going to want to win. He's played for Carolina. And his entire career, let's be honest, what has Carolina done? About the same as Buffalo. They have the longest drought in the NHL. Carolina does. So Jeff Skinner has not been spending a lot of his time in the playoffs. And he probably wants to win. And for this team, if they can show that they can win games and be a Stanley Cup contender, again, not this year, but in the future, I need Jeff Skinner buying into the idea that this is the right place to be, and the start has gone about as well as you can ask for. What's it going to cost? 7 years, $8 million per year? And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of commitment. He's 26. At the end of that, he's 33. You know, when does Jeff Skinner slow down? At age 31? You have a lot of time left here for him. He is a great player. 11 goals. He has 18 points in 16 games, and you know, the goals he's scoring, both of his goals last night, come courtesy of Jack Eichel. One's a fortunate bounce that comes off the post right to Skinner. And the other is on that faceoff feed, which was bananas. This is the second time I've said bananas this morning. 803-0550, Ken in Buffalo. We're talking about how the Sabres are great and how fun it is right now. And I know they're not even really great, but this feels like great. Ken in Buffalo. Good morning, Ken. Hey, Ken. Are you there?
How are you? I am. How are you?
Good, good. Doing great.
Good. Hey, me and you butted head a few times. I just want to kind of go back. A few years ago, I kind of called in when things were down. I said, you know what? What I'd really like to see is a competitive team that on Tuesday or Thursday night against Boston, Montreal, we got a 50-50 chance of winning, and we score some goals, and there's some excitement. And basically, you told me I was off my rocker, that that it's all about winning a championship, that nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Now you're going crazy. We beat a mediocre team in overtime on a Thursday night. And you know what? I was glued to the TV. I was excited, and it was fun. But your whole idea is it's all about a championship, or at least that's what you're saying 5 years ago. Now it's all different. We score 7 goals. We give up 6. It's a fun game. I mean, it's whatever, but your whole thought that it doesn't matter, nothing matters unless a championship, seems like you've kind of done an about-face, really.
Well, I have based on the players that are on the team. 5 years ago, it would have been a team that was gunning for last place, and I was rooting for last place, and I didn't need any excitement on a Thursday. And that 5 years ago, yeah. The reason you do 5 years ago is so you have players like Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart when you're already bad. I mean, we've been through the tank a million times. I don't regret a single thing I did or said about it. I mean, Anyone trying to convince me that I was wrong, good luck. Never happening. Every team that's in that position should be smart enough to do it. The Sabres were. And then, of course, Tim Murray kind of botched it. We should have been at this point, how you feel right now about the hockey team, 2 years ago. Easy. But we had to wait a little longer. And Phil Housley, I've been critical of Housley and wondering if he's the man for the job. Last year, I got zero evidence that he is. Last night, what did he do? Pulling Allmark and going to Hutton was a good, smart call. And I wondered if he would do that, and he did. Good call. And talking to Housley on Tuesday this week, asked him a bunch of questions about how he views his team, how he evaluates his team, you know, what do they look at? High danger chances, yada, yada, yada. I loved a lot of his answers. He sounds, I mean, when a team is as bad as they were last year, it was frustrating to talk to the head coach. And maybe it was frustrating for him to talk to us because what do you say? All you say is, we got to get better. We got to get better. I need more from these guys. And now you have a real team that you can evaluate. And I feel like his answers sound like a coach of a team that you can evaluate. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Yeah, John writes in, Housley deserves credit where it's due. Huge move pulling Allmark last night, and it was hardly mentioned. I agree. It was the right move. It was a great move to go to Hutton. I mean, it might have been later than you wanted to. Allmark was shaky, which is not the norm for him. I mean, I actually thought in the first period, early in the game, that Allmark was great. I mean, he moves well. He's a fun goalie to watch. He did not have a great night. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Time for another one. We'll get to Glenn in Amherst. Glenn, good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It just seems like it's actually really nice to see Jack Eichel have, like you were talking about, Boris Skinner. A guy to play with. And also, if I remember right, Pominville started with Eichel last year, score a couple goals with them, and then they really didn't see much of each other on the same line. I'm very encouraged by the way this team is going. It's been a very long time since you've had something to be really encouraged about. And I think in tightening up their defensive zone just a little bit more, I think that'll just help out just enough where this may not have been to a 6-5 game, although Allmark did struggle a little bit. But at the same time, they get up a few good chances that were stopped. So I just think that, you know, there is optimism and room to look forward, but the Skinner trade in my mind is when everything changed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not a finished product. I think their defense has to get better. If they got in the top three of the division, it would be huge. I don't think they will. I'm talking about gunning for a wild card spot. The roster is not complete. It is young. There's some of their best players are really young. That goes for Mittelstadt. Of course, Eichel is still crazy young. Even Ristolainen is young-ish. He's played a lot of hockey. Dahlin, young. And then on the farm, the Amerks are in first place. So things are coming together, it would appear, for Jason Botterill after last year, which might have been the worst slash most frustrating season and biggest disappointment season in the organization's history. It looks like a bit of a bounce back is upon us. And I mean, I can't say welcome enough. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.